Off the Ball, GAA.
I actually text Tommy Rooney for tips on how to start a podcast. I was pricing ayahuasca retreats, so I think for the safety of everybody, it's better off just to throw all the headspace into an intercounty game.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
On episode 2 of Richie McCormick's Sliding Doors podcast, the stories behind the transfers that almost happened but just about didn't. Focuses on one of the greatest of all time, Pelé.
Pelé. Baba, back to Pelé. Now what's he going to do? He's got the third! Oh, beautiful goal!
And how the Santos superstar nearly swapped Brazil for Hanover. And how a Nazi ice machine salesman nearly pulled the deal off. Dropping in your OTB football podcast feed this Monday. Richie McCormick's Sliding Doors.
Rugby on Off the Ball.
Anyone can dream it, but to be it, you must never stop competing. Bank of Ireland, a proud sponsor of Irish women's rugby.
Hello there, a very happy Six Nations to you. We are just over an hour away from the 2026 tournament getting up and running, and Ireland are back to being underdogs once again. So maybe that's exactly where we need to be as a country, as a sporting nation, and maybe the scene is perfectly set for an ambush in Paris tonight. So the whole thing, as you'll know, there's one rest week fewer this year, is going to be wrapped up in just 37 days, and quite where Ireland will be in the shake-up come March 14th is anyone's guess at this stage. What we do know at this point is that despite what you're seeing outside there in this dog of a night in Ireland, this tournament will signal the end of the winter, as it always does. But whether it's going to be the wooden spoon for Ireland, a grand slam for Ireland, the possibilities are absolutely endless. So our show tonight is going to focus largely around events at Stade de France. Our number is 087-9180-180 if you've got any comments, any predictions for tonight. And for the first time this evening, it's time to say a very good evening to Andy Dunn. Andy, how are you keeping?
I'm doing great, thanks, Owen. Enjoying Paris this afternoon in the springtime.
Are you sensing an idea of Irish magic in the Parisian air tonight at all?
I can't really rationalise my feeling. I suppose that's the definition of a good feeling. But I do think we will do a lot better than people are thinking. I think there's... In a very logical way, there's concerns around our strength and depth and loss of some key personnel. But Andy Farrell's always been a coach who loves being backed into a corner, who loves adversity. It seems to bring the best out in him. In turn, then, he can motivate his players very well on the back of that. He's had 10 days, 2 weeks uninterrupted with them, very much... Probably with the same theme running through all his chats and side chats and individual chats and team talks about we go out there and prove everyone what we can do when we're faced with such adversity.
I kind of get the sense sometimes that this is something that will sit a bit easier in the Irish psyche. I know things have changed quite a lot over the last couple of years, and maybe if we remove the Irish part of that, Andy, I presume it's easier for any team to go into a tournament as underdogs. It really feels like a pressure-off scenario.
I couldn't quite hear you there, Owen. Sorry, apologies.
When it comes to being underdogs, surely it's easier for any team to go in there with that lack of pressure relative to their French opponents tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think regardless of like the huge success Irish rugby's had in the last 25 years since the turn of the century, where we've stepped out of that shadow of being the plucky underdog, we deserve to go into lots of games as favourites. We've deserved to be positioned in world number one rankings a number of times in the last few years. Nonetheless, I just think our national traits are more suited to being plucky underdogs. I think it's something that sits with us very, very easily. Now, that's more a cultural thing. If you talk about the individual profile of a current Irish international who's 23 years, full of confidence, has never known, you know, 30-point losses to French teams in the late 90s or in the 80s and so on. So they have a very different expectation within their own psyche. But I just think culturally we are, even the fan base, potentially a lot older than the 23-year-olds and the 24-year-olds who are making early inroads into Irish careers. I think we are suited to that. I think there's something deeper in our psyche that we love. I think we should embrace it as opposed to, you know, put it back in the shadows.
How do you embrace that on a rugby field today, Andy? How do we see an underdog style of play take on its most effective form?
You hammer the ball up in the air very high. It's wet conditions. You trust people like Jamie Osborne, Jacob Stockdale, 6'3", 6'4", fast, really good in the air. Your line speed in defence is very, very aggressive. You hunt in packs around when the French player is tackled and you try and spoil. I think it's probably best demonstrated by being destructive as opposed to being creative. If you're going to be an underdog, it can go both ways. You can take huge risks, but I don't see that happening with this team. I think they're going to be destructive, defensively destructive, kick dominant, really try and ruffle the feathers of the French team and not allow them to sit into a comfortable ball-playing style. I think they will do everything within their grasp to stop the French offload game, particularly in that French back row. So, yeah, I don't see us being overly creative, fluid attacking rugby, joyful to watch. But it can be joyful to watch an underdog be destructive. And I think we could do that. It's obviously that big question mark hanging over a lot of people's head around the scrum. And I think that's partly post-traumatic stress disorder, probably from the South Africa game, where the whole country and all the players involved, John Fogarty, the scrum coach, couldn't sleep for about a week afterwards. But it's worth noting that South Africa did something very similar to the French scrum in the November internationals also.
Yes. That is going to be a topic of conversation throughout the Six Nations if things don't go anywhere near as Ireland would hope this evening. Andy Dunn is with us on the line from Paris. I want to say hello for the first time this evening to our two guests in studio. Fiona Hayes, how are you doing? And Vinnie Perth is with us as well. Vinnie, how are you doing?
Yeah, good evening.
We are going to be looking ahead to the League of Ireland season after 9 o'clock on the football show tonight, but it's going to be interrupted by Fiona Hayes giving us live updates, Andy Dunn giving us live updates from Paris, and Vinnie as well. I mean, you are possibly the biggest rugby fan in the room.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, could have played for Ireland. I told you that before.
What's your overall sense of things going into the Six Nations? Your gut feeling as to where it's all going to come out in the wash for Ireland?
I don't know whether it's good listening to people like Fiona or not, but I'm really nervous, and I think just as a sort of a passing view, I think what South Africa done to us has left a real scar. And then I think it's an obvious question. Obviously, you worry about our number one. Obviously, Shane's two. You don't worry about him. But one, two and three is a real fear in the team. And then the biggest thing for me is I still think if Ireland are planning on winning the World Cup, who plays number 10? And if we have to play South Africa, you don't see Prendergast playing. So why? It just feels a little bit like I'm not sure. That was the biggest questions I have.
Straight in with the 10 conversation there, which we will get to.
I know,
to
I understand that, but...
Well, no, we will. We will
100%, you see from the outside.
We will 100% get there in a moment, but just kind of more zoomed out at the moment, Fiona, general feeling, like we're seeing the players walking to the stadium there, France looking very assured, very confident. I think Antoine Dupont was showing his lanyard to people to allow himself to get into the tunnel there. How are you feeling about this?
Yeah, look, I mean, I'm not very optimistic, but I will say... I think the nail was hitting the head there around the breakdown and trying to slow down France, especially if it's wet over there. This team have the ability to be really, really good. We haven't seen it in a long time. If over an 80-minute performance. So I'm excited to see the new guys get in there, see what they can do. But certainly, I think they need to be a menace at the breakdown. Now, they spoke during the week about discipline and how they haven't been great. So it's going to be interesting to see what Carl Dixon lets them get away with as well in there. But certainly, I'm excited to see how we go and attack, but also looking at how they're going to control that scrum and set piece area, how that goes.
Andy, I'll throw this to you. First of all, the turnover in personnel with regards to this Ireland team is maybe a lot more than people appreciate. We know this is a team potentially coming to the end of its lifespan in terms of its peak, but you could also make the case that it's in a bit of transition at the moment. If we're comparing this game with the game against France last year, which took place at the Aviva Stadium, there are 10 players that were in that 23 last year for Ireland that are unavailable for Ireland tonight due to a variety of reasons. So you've got no Hugo Keenan, no Mac Hansen, no Robbie Henshaw, James Lowe, Andrew Porter, Jack Boyle, Tadhg Furlong, Peter O'Mahony, Conor Murray, Bundee Aki. Granted, there's only two retirements there. You'd imagine the other eight there to come back into the team at some point in the future. That afternoon was not a good afternoon for Ireland last year. So when you look at those players being absent tonight, Andy, that's another factor why confidence levels might not be great amongst the Irish fans. We will come back to Andy there. He's just off mic there at Stade de France. What's your take on that, Fiona? Just because I've heard, you know, comparisons between, say, this team and the end of November, and look, the scare that Ireland got from South Africa, certainly around the scrum. But if you just compare like with like France game versus France game, you can't really make the case that this 23 is as strong as the 23 that took to the field in Dublin last year.
No, it's not. But I think, you know, it's, and I've said this before to you, Owen, we're crying out for new guys to be tested. We've seen that Prendergast, that debate is going to go on for I don't know how long, but he does have a chance tonight, and he'll know that himself, to put to bed all the chat around defensive issues. Now, it's obviously going to be hard against a big strong pack that's running down his throat, but certainly it's not as strong. But sometimes getting new guys in, they're adding something different to a team, can actually refresh it. And that game last year was not good at all, especially in attack. It was probably shocking. So they'll know they need a lot more in attack. And they've got some good guys in there. I'm excited seeing the both wingers have a crack as well.
Yeah, that is the thing, Andy, because you can flip this completely on its head and get great excitement and great hope from Tommy O'Brien, for example, who was not in this Ireland team last year, and even a key in Prendergast. I'm excited to see Prendergast go in there tonight as well. So where are you at when it comes to the comparisons between the two teams that have taken on France in the last two renewals?
I'm certainly coming out from a glass half full point of view. I think had Farrell not been faced, obviously the two retirements are, there's a finality to that, but in the case of the long injury list, his hand is forced in some cases to pick inexperience, or in some cases like Jeremy Lockman, he's 150 professional games under his belt. He's not a novice, but there'd be question marks over his capacity to manage at this level. However, Tommy O'Brien on the wing has been a revelation this season. Jamie Osborne is a top quality rugby player, playing across multiple positions, has a left boot option where we've used James Lowe previously, and arguably a better passer and offloader than a number of his peers. You've got a combination of Prendergast and McCluskey playing together, which I think could really complement each other. Sam tends to hold the ball and make decisions very late himself. People have to react to that, including defenders. But if you give Stuart McCluskey half an inch, he takes a ball late from Prendergast, he can get his arms free, offload and do a lot of damage. So overall, I think there are some changes that are enforced. I think there's a natural tendency among the management group to blood a few young players. And if you take the examples we've seen in the last calendar year, the likes of Paddy McCarthy wasn't on the tip of everybody's tongue 12 months ago, but now he looks close to indispensable given the form he showed in November, and he's obviously out injured too. So we may unearth an additional talent. The likes of Cian Prendergast is a really interesting selection, form selection, and he'll probably be doing a man marking type job on DuPont. But yeah, like, it's, I think it's glass half full overall, quite exciting. And a lot of these young players, like I referenced earlier, they don't fall foul of history.
Yeah, that's the thing. They're unburdened by anything coming into this game, although it's not been the most unsuccessful period in Irish rugby, to be fair. Fiona, just on the scrum point, it's been the big talking point over the last number of weeks. We have known the team since Tuesday, and look, we knew exactly what it was going to be at Loosehead with Lachman there. What's your prediction in terms of that area of the pitch? Is there a way where this game can kind of skirt around that glaring issue, that the elephant in the room of Ireland being down, their first choice props, just is not addressed during this game?
Look, it's going to be hard against a French front row no matter who's there, you know what I mean? They've the best props. I mean, you could go down a league and you'd still have some of the best scrummagers over in France. They're unbelievable, the talent that's coming through over there. But certainly for me, and I know people will argue and disagree, I think if you've the ability to get in and be able to lock out a scrum, yes, you're under savage pressure, but if they spend a lot of time working on locking that out, trying to sustain that pressure, looking even at Carl Dixon, he does tend to tell nines, eights, whoever it is, to use the ball. He wants to play that rugby. It's not going to be a scrum focused thing. The referees don't let that happen anymore. So I'm not as worried as some people are. I think Lachman deserves a chance. He's done it time in, time out for Munster. He's able to lock out that scrum. Yes, there's been issues in other areas, and Thomas Clarkson has also proved how good he is at coming in and scrummaging. So I think we're so used to the same guys week in, week out. I'm excited at this prospect of that, and then getting the likes of Milne on the pitch and giving them a crack as well. It's not ideal, but from a scrummaging perspective, Owen, I think the early doors we'll see a couple of I suppose locked out scrums where there won't be many penalties. Obviously the French are going to go for the juggler as the game goes on, because it comes down to a fitness thing, but I'm excited at seeing that battle and seeing exactly what the referee will allow happen in that area as well.
Let's bring you some of the sounds from this week's media dealings from the Irish rugby camp. Let's hear from the captain, Ciarán Doris, talking about Ireland's out half.
Yeah, Sam's been great. Like, obviously his defence has caught quite a bit of flack, but it's an area that, like, I'm in the same club as him in Leinster, and I see day to day the work he puts in, same here in camp. So that side of his game is improving. In terms of his attack, like, the ceiling is so high for him. He can do things that not many people can do at all. And he's getting more and more confident at leading the week and being another voice, especially guiding our attack. So, yeah, I've got a lot of faith in him, and I'm looking forward to seeing him lead us around tomorrow.
Yeah, again, Andy, just going back to last year's game, I think we need to remind ourselves of Sam Prendergast's performance against France last year. Like, he nails a penalty from the middle of the park when the game is in the balance. He nails a brilliant touchline conversion. He was good with his kicking out of hand. I mean, there's no reason to expect that, certainly in attack, that he's not going to step up to the plate on his first experience of Stade de France. He hasn't played in Stade de France before, so it'll be his first experience of this sort of environment. And in attack anyway, Andy, we can expect big things from him tonight.
Absolutely, and he strikes me as the type of player who will thrive in this type of environment. He's going to go and attack it. He's not going to go into his shell. I think there's huge value as a young player in being backed by your coaching team, and he's been backed time and time again now. He's been backed by the coaching team in Leinster, where he's first choice at a very young age, and I think that does give players like him a lot of confidence to be actually in as a front runner. He's not always chasing, he's getting time in the seat, and with time in the seat comes that wonderful learning that you get from a few mistakes. You will learn at a rate of knots when you miss tackles like he has, and the exposure that he gets and the glare of media criticism, and it's there's no place to hide. You hear even Ciarán Doris very correctly, I would say, references it, but I think he's got the wherewithal in his game to address that, the defensive stuff. He made a couple of great tackles recently for Leinster at fullback, last ditch tackles, try saving tackles, so he's very capable of it. I don't think it's an issue around courage. I think it's an issue on, it's a technical issue that seems to be slowly getting more and more addressed. But if he does miss an early tackle, this is like being thrown to the wolves. They will go after him again and again. So his first 10 minutes are pretty important in terms of the defensive role he has as well. But in terms of answering your question, I think we could see something exciting from him. He's definitely capable of doing rare things that very few other players can do. So this is the stage to do it.
Speaking of the Wolves, the journey that France have gone on since that meeting last year has been quite an interesting one. They had the tour to New Zealand. They used it as something of a development tour. Might not have got any of the results, but they certainly blooded a lot of the players that we're going to see tonight. For example, Théo Atasogbe, who's on the wing, obviously, 21-year-old with 8 caps. Deportaire, 23-year-old with 7 caps. Guiar, Michael Guiar, 25-year-old with 13 caps. And Hugo Aradu, 22-year-old with 10 caps. They all played in the final test against New Zealand, and all three tests, in fact, against New Zealand last summer. They take November a little bit more seriously, but because of the work they've done last summer, you're looking at a coterie of young players, Andy, who have a little bit more experience at this stage and are ready to really make an impact and go after that Grand Slam in this campaign.
Yeah, well, it's something I love about the French. Only the French would send in a bunch of kids and novices to New Zealand for a three-match tour, but and it doesn't go down very well in the New Zealand public. No. They see it as quite a diss. But it's brilliant in terms of where France. We complain, you know, we've complained in a World Cup cycles. How many World Cups in a row now? 5-6 World Cups, about peaking in between World Cups, and France categorically don't do that. They tend to save their best for World Cups, and one of the key reasons is they're prepared to send a bunch of kids down to New Zealand and they don't care about the results. So what they've got, I mean, they do have, okay, look, they've a bigger playing numbers altogether. They've more clubs, they've more money, they've got domestic money, and they don't have to worry about the windfall Six Nations every year in terms of sustaining their game financially, where Ireland do. So there are marked differences there. We can't just copy them. But what they do is use those strengths very smartly. I think the ability, the bravery to say, right, we will go with a bunch of unproven kids down to New Zealand. Invariably, you know, they get a few beatings, but they unearth 3 or 4 talents. And they've done this, you know, they've been doing this for donkey's years. You mentioned Atasogbe. You've also got Deportaire. You've got Calvin Gorgias on the bench. Like, there's serious talent there. And the exposure that these players get, you know, autumn, then in New Zealand. I mean, you think who's not here for France tonight? The likes of Damien Penno just mercilessly dropped off the squad. Gregory Aldred. You know, we haven't seen the last of those players by any means, but it gives everyone an almighty kick up the arse, I'd say.
What are your
Sorry,
Andy, what are your thoughts on Matthew Jalabert?
I've always loved him. Always loved him. Flamboyant, very, very French, unpredictable. You know, he can spontaneously combust as quickly as he can just ruin the opposition defence. So I think we'll go after him pretty full on. I think we have to target him. There's a danger in that when you target someone like that and you poke a bear and he just pulls out this ridiculous performance. But he has in his locker the capacity to just run out the back gate as well. So that's why I love him, because you literally never know what you're going to get. The world is full of consistency and the world is full of predictability, particularly in international terms. So to see someone as flamboyant and unpredictable as him is something I love.
Yeah, well, his attack coach for Bordeaux, Begle, was on Off the Ball Breakfast chatting to Colm and Ger earlier on. Here's a little bit of what he had to say. This is Noel McNamara.
You know, this is a French generation that has been built over an extended period of time. They've been absolutely dominant at under 20 level. You know, you look at someone like Nicolas Deportaire and some of the younger players, Théo Atasogbe, they've known nothing but success from underage level. You look at the last, what it is now, the last 4 or 5 Champions Cup winners have come from France. You know, this is a group really that they should be winning Six Nations. I think equally there will be a certain amount of nerves and trepidation as well, despite the fact that they have that confidence. But equally, they've been burnt in the past. You know, the expectation at the home World Cup was that they would win. You know, they have the best player in the world, I think, in Antoine Dupont. Potentially, they have two or three that could compete for the top five. You know, you look at someone like Louis. You look at Matthew. You look at Thomas Ramos. And the competitive animal that he is. So, I think certain trepidation because they've been burnt in the past. You know, that game in Marseille. I think the expectation there was that they would win. That was kind of the vindication after the disappointment of the World Cup. And you know, it certainly didn't play out like that. So, yeah, I think expectation confidence because of what's gone in the past, but certainly a little bit of nervousness because they've been burned too.
Noel McNamara speaking on Off the Ball Breakfast earlier on. What's your take on this French team, Fiona?
Yeah, they're so good to, and it's a lot of it has got to do with that Bordeaux team we saw before. You know, we're speaking about Toulouse and their players coming onto this squad, but I think that Bordeaux, especially that centre partnership, is exciting. The guys have come up underage and just are unbelievable to watch. And what's exciting on is the ages of the players you name, so they're able to breed in these young type of players. Also then you've Al-Ghadiri, who's able to come in at tight head, still, you know, an absolute beast, unbelievable scrummager. So they just have a conveyor belt, and we're probably talking about, you know, the guys that have been dropped because we're amazed by their talent over here, but I'm sure in French media and over in France they're not as worried about that, because the guys that come in seamlessly can come in and take their place, and just unbelievable players. And Dupont in particular, we know how good he is. But I'm excited at seeing Gelabert, to be honest with you. He's someone who's kind of dips in and out of form, and we know Intermac is gone out, but he's scored some, especially this season in particular, he scored some magical individual tries, and he's going to bring a bit of that to the game as well.
Our number is 0879 180 180 if you want to get in touch. Larry says to keep it within 30 is a good performance. Set piece is going to get ripped apart and we won't hang on to their attack. While Patrick says there's more of a chance of Ireland winning the Calcutta Cup than winning tonight. But like the soccer, if they win, I'll jump on the bandwagon. Our number, as I say, 0879 180 180 if you want to send us a WhatsApp message. We'll take a quick break. We'll get Andy's prediction, Fiona's prediction, and Vinny's prediction, of course, a little closer to 10 past 8. And after these, we'll be hearing from some of the Irish fans chatting to Susanna around Paris earlier. Yes, indeed. It might need to be some 2000 magic once again for Ireland tonight at Stade de France. The sounds there from George Hamilton commentating on rugby and Brian O'Driscoll's famous hat-trick in Paris, breaking the duck that Ireland had in France on that occasion. Of course, it's not as big a drought on this occasion. Of course, Ireland went to Marseille and won a couple of years ago. Obviously, there's the drop from 2018, so it wouldn't be as much of a historical shock if they were to go to France and win tonight. But in the context of everything else, maybe it would be quite a mountain to climb. Very happy to say that our reporter, Susanna Mullen, has taken up the mic at Stade de France. Susanna, how are things?
That's great, Owen. It's my first time here in Stade de France for a 15s game, and I'm awestruck looking around the place. So I can't imagine how some of the players feel. They're warming up now, and some of them who haven't played here before, I'd say it's hard to keep those emotions in check.
Yeah, it's one of the great cauldrons in world sport, Stade de France. It really is one of those amazing moments, I'd imagine, in every young career when they go and play there for the first time. We were talking about Sam Prendergast going out there for the first time in an Ireland jersey at Stade de France. Same for someone like Tommy O'Brien as well this evening. What was the feeling in the city, though, earlier on, Susanna? I know you were at the captain's run yesterday. You've been covering this team all week. Does the energy shift on match day? A few more green jerseys, I suspect, around the place?
Definitely. It's been very quiet all week, actually, apart from kind of the haggle of journalists that have been following the team around. We haven't seen many green jerseys at all, but then certainly today they started arriving. A lot of people came from London this morning on the Eurostar, so I was seeing them kind of out and about. And then I took a trip over to, I think you know it well, Owen, from back during the World Cup, Sullivan's by the Mill. I think any Irish person who was here during the World Cup would know that pub very, very well. And they're very well acquainted with Off the Ball there as well. Yes. And that was where I really found the Irish fans.
Probably too acquainted with some of the presenters and Off the Ball, O'Sullivan's, between the World Cup and the Olympics last year or 2 years ago as well. Susanna, I got a text earlier on from Craig Casey's dad. And he texted me to say, just met your colleague Susanna in a bar in Paris. She bullied me and my wife to do a soundbite. She's a lovely girl, in fairness. Let's have a listen to Craig Casey's parents talking to Susanna a little earlier.
Oh, on to him all the time, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Just talking to him earlier this morning.
Yeah, he's flying. Like, it's such a great experience for them. No matter what, when they go into camp, it's amazing. So he's just loving every part of it. So it's absolutely brilliant.
Are there any nerves from him, or is he just pure excitement?
No nerves from Craig. Just love and family.
No nerves from Craig. Mom finds it very hard every time it happens. But no, it's amazing. It's just amazing. It's every time it happens, it's
fantastic.
Do you find it hard to watch?
Often.
Really?
Yeah.
Just you're worried about him?
Everything just, yeah, it's hard.
And just lastly then, Stade de France, we were talking a second ago, it's going to be insane tonight. They've got a whole show planned. How do you think he's going to feel when he walks out?
So when we were there for the World Cup, it was amazing. He got us seats. We thought we were sitting in the wrong seats because we were about 3 feet away from the World Cup. But the stadium itself is absolutely phenomenal. So it's just going to be unbelievable. And like when you see the Irish support around, it's just going to be like zombie in the World Cup is something that I'll never ever forget. So if it happens again tonight, it'll be absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, Ger Casey there, Craig Casey's father, speaking to Susanna in O'Sullivan's by the Mill. Rainy night in Soho playing as well. Susanna, your Irish pride must have been absolutely kind of beaming there, I guess, over the few minutes that you spent in that pub.
Yeah, oh, it was very funny. Poor Ger, he watched me interviewing a couple of other fans and then let slip that he was Craig's dad. And yeah, I did absolutely bully him. He told me he didn't want to come on, but I said, oh, I need the credit back in the bank with Owen in the studio, so please give me a few minutes. But no, it was great. There were lots of people who were just arriving and then a few people who had been there for a couple of hours. But it was definitely, it got me in the spirit. So I'd say people were there for a couple more hours after that before they got the RER over to the stad.
Yeah, and like I'm sure with it being a Thursday night game as well, you can just make a big weekend of it in Paris. Nobody's going to be flying back for work tomorrow morning and then they've got the weekend. So that's one of the benefits of this fixture. Let's hear a little bit more from some of the other Irish fans that Susanna was speaking to earlier.
It's for Off the Ball. Do you know Off the Ball?
No.
I think it's News Talk. Is it News Talk?
News Talk, yeah.
Yeah, News Talk.
Okay. Firstly, where have you guys come from today?
From Loud, Audi.
County Loud.
Hey.
Is it your first Six Nations game?
No, definitely not.
No?
First one in Paris.
First one in Paris.
Crowley was our neighbour in Chicago when we were in Chicago for the Australia game. The New Zealand game. We were in Soldier Field and he was a lovely fella. Not just a good rugby player. We're a bit of a Crowley fan. Lens of support is Crowley fans.
So you think he should have started at 10?
Oh, every day of the week, yeah, 100%.
Why? What does Sam not have?
Tackle. He can't tackle for shit.
So during the World Cup, we had an Irish fan coming in here who refused to spend any money on a hotel. So we would open at 11 a.m. He would stay here from 11 a.m. until about 5 in the morning. He would go directly over there on the street and sleep on the bench. That's dedication. The French don't understand that. That's real proper dedication.
I reckon Ireland by 3 to win.
Really? Yeah, that's
absolutely
positive.
Yeah.
I'd say France by 10 to win.
Yeah, no, I reckon France will implode.
It's pretty weak Irish team, unfortunately, compared to France.
I think we're in trouble today in this scrum. If we manage our scrum, we've got a chance today.
Our lonely prison wall, I heard a young girl calling.
Are you looking forward to it?
Nah, I don't like rugby.
Other opinions on Sam Prendergast's tackling are available, including Andy Dunn's, who says that it's a little bit underrated at the moment. Just on a point on what we've been hearing earlier on, Fiona, just we've heard obviously from Craig Casey's dad, the Munster duo that make up the two in the 6-2 split of Casey and Jack Crowley, they could have a big part to play tonight. And we can't forget as well the rest of the Munster contingent, such as Tadhg Byrne, who's gone out there from the start.
Yeah, look, it's huge, and I think we all know the importance of the bench in the modern game. It's massive. It's going to be interesting. I suppose you have Crowley there that he can cover that full back. We know he can shift into 12 if needed as well, so he can play a variety of positions in that back line. But it will be interesting if there's a couple of injuries where poor old Craig will have to go, or they might move Gibson Park out to the wing, and that's the danger, that 6-2 split. But look, it's going to be huge for them, the two guys, because there's been a lot of slack, I suppose, around kind of how Munster are playing and how things are going. So for them to be able to go into camp and get up there and hopefully come on and put in a big performance, I think confidence levels are huge. And we all know Tadhg Byrne has probably been playing the rugby of his life in the last few games as well. I've seen him. He's just unbelievable around that breakdown. A couple of discipline issues, but I think in second row he's going to be really good tonight.
Okay, well, we've still got loads more build-up to come between now and 10 past 8. We'll get everybody's predictions before kick-off at Stade de France this evening. We'll also hear a little bit more from the likes of Gary Ringrose and talking about Stuart McCluskey as well after the break. James Tracy was on the show this week. We'll bring some of him talking about Jacob Stockdale as well. Cameron Hill is going to be in with tonight's news round after the break, and before that, it's the Cash Machine.
Rugby on Off the Ball.
Anyone can dream it, but to be it, you must never stop competing. Bank of Ireland, a proud sponsor of Irish women's rugby.